Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Happy hump day. Lot of headlines right now, currently. A lot of talk about concussions, non-concussions, talking about paint drying on the wall. Oh, that was the Giants Bears games. There's a lot of things being talked about currently, right? Got teams in London. We're worldwide, the NFL. Okay? A lot of things happening. Coaches coming out and saying their quarterback should have better pocket presence. Like, no shit. Shout out to our coach for the Bears. A lot of things happening here. Tom Brady, addicted to the game. Just want to say this will be Brady's third divorce. He got a divorce. His first divorce was with another model, had a baby. His first baby mama, the kids say these days. Then he got a divorce from Bill Belichick, went on to win a Super Bowl. Okay? So the guy's won a Super Bowl after every divorce. So I'm just telling you, when I thought that, the Bucks were going to be an average team, he goes out and gets a divorce. He had a big distraction. The toughest defense Brady was facing was at his own house. He said, "Honey, I know you're a model, but it's over." So he hired a divorce lawyer. Him and Giselle, done, donezo. And people are coming out and saying, word on the street is she has more money than Brady. Brady needs to go after all the money. Take it all from her, okay? Take your half, buddy. TB12, bring it to the moon, okay? So now, the Bucks, I don't know what Vegas has. The odds had to go in their favor. They're getting a little bit healthier. They're probably going to somehow get an offensive lineman. Maybe, someone will quit in college that's good and just suddenly be on the Bucks. I don't know what happens here. But the Bucks are 2-2. They couldn't have worse injuries and couldn't have missed, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Leonard Fournette doesn't know how to run currently because they have no offensive line. I mean, man, I think now the Bucs have to be a favorite. Okay? But I'll just touch base really quick on the Bears-Giants game. Shout out to Mike Vick. Shout out to Daniel Jones, aka might be the same. Daniel Jones was running out there, I mean, just leading the charge. Listen to this. My man had six rushing attempts for 68 yards and two tutties, and you watch the tutties. He just ran past Kyle Gordon both times. Just ran it in. Kyle Gordon being pushed out the end zone. It's like, I know Kyle Gordon's a rookie, but a very finesse rookie. Maybe you can't play the outside because you can't get around a blocking wide receiver. Who the hell was blocking you? It's probably Kenny Galladay, probably. Kenny Galladay can't catch. He literally had no catches, but apparently blocked the shit out of out of Mr. Kyle Gordon. So the Bears game was atrocious. I thought the Bears were going to come out. If you watch the first drive, we're throwing it deep. We have some connection with Darryl Mooney. Darryl Mooney, shout out to him. He almost got 100 yards. Shit, didn't even have probably 28 yards the whole season. He did 4 for 94. Nothing good. I mean, everything. I mean, ran the ball decently. Same thing I said last week. This is going to be a rough season. I was wrong. I thought the Bears would win. I really did. The one highlight I will say out of the Bears, right? I mean, listen, we at least had Justin Fields throw the ball 22 times, okay? He was 11 for 22, 174. I want the guy to throw the ball 50 times. At least just do it like 3 games. Just let him throw it 50 times. If he throws 5 interceptions, who gives a shit? Just don't let him change in the locker room with the defense because they might want to kill him after that. Shout out to Rex Grossman. He almost got his ass beat by Mike Brown once for being so bad at his job and the defense always having to bail him out. That's a true story. You can go Google that. A little Google machine. You might have heard of it. Things I did see in the game, just Saquon Barkley's back. I mean, obviously he's back, but like that one run where he goes like 15 yards back and gets like a 16-yard gain, that was pretty ridiculous. I mean, they ran the ball down our throats. I mean, that's just period. I mean, when Tyrod Taylor came in, the guy threw for 11 yards and a pick. Dude ran for 30 yards on the ground. It's like, damn. So, our defensive line probably need to like do a better job of containing quarterbacks, but at the end of the day, it was a dog shit of a game. The Bears lost. I was wrong there. I will say the one highlight for me watching the entire game, who played well, I want to apologize to Eddie Jackson. I mean, as you've seen, if you've seen any stories about Eddie Jackson, he went through a really rough year last year and probably the year before. It looks like him and his wife were having problems trying to have a baby, and there were some complications there. Definitely affected him on and off the field, but then also he lost his best friend during that time. So I know he's had two off years, but he's played great. He did have another interception. Eddie Jackson, I think he's played very well this year. He's already got three picks. So, we're only four games in. He's got three picks and a forced fumble. So, I mean, I like what he's bringing to the table. I don't know what his contract necessarily looks like. I was one of those people to say, get rid of Eddie Jackson. I'll just flat out say that. I wasn't really happy with him. But we have him next year, too, the next 2 years. So, I think he'll, the dead cap is only, I think we're going to pay him $17 million. I think we definitely keep him for the next 2 years till he's 32. But Eddie Jackson, I apologize, brother. You're playing off. You're playing great. I like to see that because we need some people that we can actually lean on, right? Kyle Gordon, he's young. We got Brisket or whatever the hell his name. I'll call him Brisket because shout out to me. That's not how you pronounce his name. The kid out of Penn State, he's playing great. Kyle Gordon, I already touched base on that from a defensive standpoint. He had a rough game, multiple reasons. Can't shed a block from a wide receiver. So we're going to have to work on that. But then Roquan, I don't know what they think behind the scenes. You hear different stories about Roquan. He does play well. Is he worth what he wants? I don't know because I know we have some freed up money next year, but we need an offensive line. We probably need a wide receiver or two. And then I guess the coaching staff and everyone's got to make their decision if they, like Fields. Is Field the guy? I mean, currently, if you asked if Fields the guy for anyone right now, we'd probably say no, he looks like shit. But I would also say is who would be successful in this? Brady struggled too when he had no wide receivers 2 games ago. You've seen what Aaron Rodgers did when he, week one, he didn't play well. So if you're not watching the Green Bay Packers, I mean, just so you know, just so everybody knows, I mean, here's what Aaron Rodgers did with rookie wide receivers, week one. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's probably the most talented from a physical standpoint that's ever played, right? Aaron Rodgers. But dude, he threw for 195 and an interception. Against the Vikings in a loss. And he, as good as Aaron Rodgers is, he has six touchdowns, three interceptions. So it's not like he's putting the world on fire. And, he's building that trust. And why that's important and why I bring that up is because I don't know many people that could even name the starting wide receivers for the Bears. And I'm not trying to be a smartass. Anyone outside of the Bears, the Bears wide receivers are unique. These are guys that have been cut from other organizations that are just not good. I mean, Pettis, tough Pettis, right? I mean, guy play well, but you got St. Brown and you got Darryl Mooney. I mean, listen, Darryl Mooney's good, but he was good last year. I mean, he played well, but he's not a number one. And to be very honest with you, if you go back and look, he's probably a number three on a really, really good team, right? I mean, maybe outside of the Chiefs, he'd probably be, but where's Darryl Mooney fit? I don't know. I mean, he's only had one, he's only had like one good season. Trust me, I'm not trying to beat down. I'm not trying to take anything away from Darryl Mooney, but he needs some help is what I'm trying to say. Jones Jr., who we signed out of Tennessee, the 25-year-old rookie. I said this on the last podcast. He was making his debut. I wouldn't have put him to receive a punt. He looked nervous. And if you watch that punt hit alligator arms, first game in the NFL, I don't know if I'm having him receive punts, but I'm also easy for me to sit in, my Yeti chair in my garage and yell at the TV while drinking cold beers. It's like, so I don't know. I didn't like him there. I didn't like him there at all. Just because, I don't know, first game back, it's week four. He's feeling like he has to do something. And sometimes rookies try to do more than they need to. clearly that sucked. That fumble was big. I don't know if the offense would have moved down, but man, it would have been nice to be able to see that. Regardless, I think it's going to be a tough season, right? That's why I'm saying, like, figure out some plays. Someone be creative in there. The one thing I was thinking about is every single person on the coaching staff that I know of, from last year, their positions to this year, all been promoted. Our head coach was a defensive coordinator for the Colts, now head coach. Offensive coordinator. That guy was a quarterback coach, now offensive coordinator. I didn't look up the defensive coordinator, but I would imagine he was a defensive line coach for our head coach. So, or for the Bears head coach. So I don't know. At the end of the day, it's everyone's gotten promoted, right? So when you get promoted, sometimes you don't know what the hell you're doing right away. You obviously, your resume says that you should be in that position, but then once you're in that position, what now? You know, not everyone hits the ground running. So there's a tremendous amount of growing pains, and currently we're all going to have to suffer for that. So, I mean, that's where we're at right now. I will say this, and it's going to go on the news. I mean, it's talked about in the media. It's talked about nationally. The Bears don't have any wide receivers, but the Bears have a shit ton of cap. Now, here's two things I want to let you know. And then Poles. Poles was an assistant GM. Now he's the main GM. So another guy. We're dealing with all people that are stepped up and all together. That's good and bad. Bad because they've never been in this position. So the lack of experience, the lack of dealing with shit, you know, being able to outsmart teams or work on that, we're probably behind the eight ball. But here's the deal. I want to point out one thing about the Chicago Bears. The Bears are still paying this season. So we can't really blame Poles or anyone else. We're still paying Khalil Mack $24 million. Dude leads the league. I think he has 5 sacks. I think he's one of the leaders in the NFL. 5 sacks. I knew he was going to step up and play good because he looked like he had his passion back. He looked bored as hell for the Bears. Nick Foles getting paid $7 million from the Chicago Bears. Andy Dalton, who just made a start for the Saints, $5 million. Jimmy Graham, don't know where Jimmy is. Jimmy's probably flying helicopters. I think he's a big helicopter guy. I did follow him on Instagram. $4 million. Charles Leno. Love to have Charles Leno because we don't have any offensive line. Getting paid $2.8 million. Danny Trevathan. $2.4 million. Shout out to Ryan Pace. Ryan Pace is currently working for the Atlanta Falcons, if I'm not mistaken. Shout out to him. So I just want to give you a clear understanding. Like, it's, you know, Poles walked into dog shit, okay? I will say the one thing is I want to tell Ryan Pace, and I said this last year. Ryan Pace had dinner with Kenny Galladay, and then Allen Robinson signed his franchise tag. If we would have signed Kenny Galladay to a 4-year contract like that, we'd have been in deep, deep shit because he clearly doesn't either know how to play football outside of blocking or he's just fell off the face of the earth because he was decent for the Lions. Also, let's take a step back for Allen Robinson. I was blaming Matt Nagy for Allen Robinson. Sean McVay is one of the top minds in the NFL, especially from an offensive standpoint. Allen Robinson's just go into your local trash can, ladies and gentlemen, and just say, Allen, Allen, because he's in that motherfucker. Excuse my language. Hopefully you don't have any children around. But, dude, he's trash. I'm, like, so surprised. He cannot get open, no separation. And speaking of separation, you know the Bears aren't getting any separation. But at the end of the day, why aren't we utilizing Cole Kmet? I will say, I think it was in the third quarter, Justin Fields had Cole Kmet around in the red zone. I know when we go in the red zone as Chicago Bears fans, we know it's the dead zone because ain't nothing happening there. Shout out to the Money Badger. The Money Badger was the kicker that we signed on Sunday morning. He kicked like 4 field goals. He was our best player. So, and now we're going to cut him in a week or so because we're getting our main kicker back. So our best player we had was a kicker fresh off the street. Dude was at Whole Foods the day before, probably shopping with me. And then he's kicking field goals, being MVP for the Bears. Now he's getting cut. I mean, life comes at you fast, ladies and gentlemen. Life comes at you fast. But let's go back. There's no separation. I mean, at the end of the day, what I was going to get at is Justin Fields had Cole Kmet on like a little I don't even know what that is, like a flood route where he's just kind of lingering out to the left side off the line, and he could have thrown it to him. He was gun shy. He was open. Like, I don't understand. Just throw it to Cole Kmet. He's a hell of a lot bigger than you. He's got one-on-one with a defender. Cole Kmet's a big boy. Let's see if he can run through, break a tackle. I mean, the dude's 6'6", 260. Okay? Justin Fields, last time I checked, bro, you aren't none of them. Don't be gun shy. Just throw it to those guys. Complete a pass just to get it out. But instead, he ran it and he didn't get far at all. He got tackled. So that was a play that I was just like, come on, man. I know that's only one play, but you got to have more trust in your decision makers. All right. Now, we discussed all the money. All the money the Bears have next year. Oh, money, money, money. Okay, we got all this fucking money. And that's exciting. But what can you buy with the money? Okay? You know, it's like Elon Musk. That guy's bored. He almost bought Twitter. And then he said, I don't want Twitter. It just seems like a lame platform. I'll just build my own. Here's free agents next year. Okay? I'm just going to throw some names at you. And if one catches your attention, please get back at me and tell me that's a good pickup. Nelson Aguilar. It's going to be 29 next year. Sterling Shepard, who's had more injuries than anyone. And I feel bad for the guy. He's a good dude. He's also going to be close to 30. DJ Clark. 26, he's at Detroit currently. Randall Cobb, he's 100. Melvin Jones, he's 500. Julio Jones, he's going into a retirement facility soon. Garbage. Hey, Pringle, he's on our team. Shout out to him. Alan Lazard. Now, here's one guy I wouldn't mind taking, Jakobi Meyers. I know he's not a household name or anything crazy. And people are like, who is Jakobi Meyers? He's the guy that didn't score a touchdown for like 100 years. And last year, the entire team ran on the field. He's 25. Okay. He's played 4 years. But like, let's just break it down from the last 3 years as far as his catches. He had 83 catches last year. He's not a burner. He plays like more of a slot position. Dude gets open though. Okay. He had, 866 yards, 10 yards per carry. So let's just say he's a younger Landry, right? Landry from New Orleans. He's kind of running those type of routes. So that's someone to keep in mind. I do like Jakobi Meyers. I don't think he would cost a ton. I will tell you that Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, so he's going to probably get paid more than he should because Drew Rosenhaus is phenomenal at his job. But the guy has good experience. He knows how to play. He played under Belichick, so you know he's going to have the work ethic. I know he's currently banged up right now, but you know what? He's got only two touchdowns. He's literally Jarvis Landry because he only has two touchdowns. One of the things about Jarvis Landry, ladies and gentlemen, didn't score a ton of touchdowns. He'd have like 100 catches, 90 catches, and no, he'd have like three touchdowns on like 100 catches. So there's really no one from a free agent standpoint that you can go out and get. Now, I do believe there's going to be guys cut. Like, I bet you Corey Davis is going to be cut from the Jets. There'll be other people cut. And that's 100%, or you can, you ever heard of trades, Tim? Yes, I have. So you could do that. But really, those are the highlights. That's, oh, and then you got Juju Smith-Schuster. But if he does anything this year, which I know he has, like, I mean, he's played four games. He's got 19 receptions. I don't really, I mean, how much money he's going to want in Jakobi Meyers, I would just look at the two. I actually think Jakobi Meyers is actually being paid more money by like $200,000 than Juju right now. But I don't know. Juju doesn't, they're both the same age. Literally, they're the same age. I'll take Jakobi Meyers and just feel like he would be a better player. But you know what? That's the highlight. You're literally walking away with, like, I guess if I wanted to look at it from is DJ Clark, Jakobi Meyers, and Juju currently are going to be free agents. Offensive line is where I do believe we should spend some money. There's going to be Orlando Brown Jr. I'm not like an offensive line guru, so I don't know how great these guys are playing, but I know he'll be a free agent. He's going to be expensive. He's a tackle. He's playing currently from Kansas City. And then you got Jack Conlin, the kid from, he's the right tackle from Cleveland. Both those guys are going to be 28 years. Or, well, Orlando Brown Jr., he's be 26. Jack's going to be 28. So, you know, those are people that you would want to kind of look at. You also got another tackle playing for Indianapolis, Matt Pryor. He's 27 and a half. I don't want to bore the shit out of you with offensive linemen, but as you know, if we think Justin Fields is going to be the answer moving forward, you got to protect the guy. And then, you know, from a pass protection standpoint. So, and also, I do believe the offensive line will consistently get better, I hope, because that's what offensive lines do. They start to mesh with each other. These guys are all new to one another. So they start to mesh. They're like, you know, a little mini fraternity, right? You know, at the beginning, it's kind of awkward. And then at the end of the day, most of the people are boys. So we'll see. I mean, I only think that the offensive line from a pass protection standpoint can get better. I do believe that we need to create better call. We got to call better plays. I don't know if we have to do trick plays every time or what we do, but we need to do something. Now, here's where I was also wanted to point out. I know everyone wants the bump, but just imagine if you're the Denver Broncos, okay? I want to start talking about some other teams. The Denver Broncos traded for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson looks like he went in a time machine and they took half his brain. He does not look like the same quarterback. Excellent or whatever he says. He is absolutely dog manure, okay? I was wrong on Russell. I thought Russell, I was like, man, Denver is going to be good this year. They're going to be, you know, that AFC West is going to be awesome with him. I mean, they got to have the bet. He's terrible. Just flat out terrible. Okay. I don't know what else to say. For the amount of money that guy's getting paid, he's got to have the worst contract in the NFL. He really does. And I'm not even, I know it's only week four and they're like, oh, it's the coach and him. They get some time to mesh. You know, I'll give them time to mesh. I'll see what they're doing. They're bad. Okay. I'll just say that. They're flat out. They suck. I mean, they've scored the least amount of points in the entire AFC. Okay. 66 points. You know, who scored less than that? 64. Shout out to the Bears. The Bears have scored the least amount of points in the NFL, but that's not surprising. We knew it was going to be rough. We got two more wins than most people thought we would have at this point. Only one game out of first place. Shout out to us. You know? I know we're not probably going to win the division. I'm not like an idiot. Another guy, Marcus Mariota. He's not very good. At least they got Redder in the back, but he's played awful. I mean, Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan. Imagine this. The Indianapolis Colts have pretty much everything in place to be a good team, right? What do? They go out and they get Phillip Rivers. Doesn't work out. They lose in the playoffs, but he, you know, he just over the hill. They go out and they trade for Carson Wentz. Not good. He sucks. They don't make the playoffs because he chokes in a big game against the Jaguars in week 17. Now they go out and get Matt Ryan. They trade for Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, shout out to him. He's 500 years old. Matt Ryan. He's thrown five tutties, five interceptions. He's been sacked 15 times. Well, that's not all his fault, Tim. Yes, I will say about 60% of sacks are on the offensive line, 40% on the quarterback. And if you don't, ask Brady. Ask Rodgers. I know maybe you just hit him up, text him, okay, if you've got connections like that. But, man, are the Colts the Bears 2.0 where quarterbacks go to die? Just saying. Shout out to me bringing that up. But those are big money. Those guys are in deep shit. Like the Colts should have definitely made the playoffs last year, but they should have been a Super Bowl caliber team as far as the defense that they had, the offensive line that they had. But man, they keep striking out. I mean, we've been striking out for 30 plus years, but hey, at least we go up to a, you know, we're still here. One thing is bad luck for the NFL. Tua, I feel bad for Tua, right? I mean, everyone's seen it. He got two concussions within 4 days. Just so everyone knows, if you go back and look at the NFL got sued and had to pay a tremendous millions and millions of dollars. I mean, tens of millions. I mean, it was like $200 million, I believe, for the concussion lawsuit. Well, guess what? Anyone that suffered two concussions within a short period of time, they never got it back. Like they were severely messed up for quite some time. And that's scary as hell to me because I understand Tua's his own man, blah, blah, blah. Players are always going to say they want to play unless their name's Michael Thomas. Okay? They're going to say, I can play through injury. But this kid is 24 years old. Tua is. And I feel bad. I don't know if he'll be the same. I really don't. I'm not saying he's played phenomenal this year. He's played well. He took two bad hits. When your hand goes like that and two concussions in 4 days, not good. The kid's 24. I hope that the Dolphins sit this kid out where he passed like 5 or 6 tests. I don't want to see him for a minimum of a month. I really don't. I want to see Tua. Tua could be one of the best players in the NFL. He really can. Oh, Tim, Tua, blah, blah, blah. No, Tua went to Alabama, ladies and gentlemen. He's the number one recruit. Came in, played good for Miami. Well, he struggled. Well, Brian Flores, his previous coach, ladies and gentlemen, was a defensive coach. Weird. We have one of those in Chicago. Their offense struggled. He also played music cheers with Tua instead of just letting Tua go through, just go through his progressions. He wanted to bring Purcell in there and take out Tua and then put Ryan Fitzpatrick in there and then put Tua in there. Instead, Tua would have been better off had they just let him at as a 22-year-old rookie just play the whole season. They had a good defense. Let him do it. Also, he had no weapons. Now, I'm bringing this up because I don't want everyone just to give up, because I pretty much damn near gave up on Justin Fields too. But Tua got better. They got Waddle last year. Waddle was good. He played a lot better, right? Then they go out and they get Tyreek Hill because they made a splash. They paid him his money. They made him the number one. They draw up plays to get him successful, right? You got to realize Tyreek Hill is running deep routes, but he's also running short routes, getting the ball in open space. Why can't we do that with Darryl Mooney? He weighs like 100 pounds. We got to probably do the same thing, okay? I'm not saying that Tyreek Hill and Mooney are the same player, but damn, if you design the same plays for the guy, see what he could do if he's our only and best wide receiver. But yeah, I think that Tua, just I know a lot of people have talked about this, beat this to the ground, but I think you sit him out for a minimum of a month, let his mind and his body, or like his brain, recover, honestly, even if he's able to play any more this year, or if he sits out the whole year, seriously. Very scary shit, honestly. The NFL just went back to, went backwards. And 90% of people were saying, oh, he has a back injury. It's like, have you ever seen anyone with a back injury fold like that on the first game that he did, that where he like was, he looked like he had 40 beers and he was hammered trying to walk out a concert. Okay. That was a head injury. So whatever. I hope Tua is able to recover. I would like the NFL to step in, NFLPA to step in and get this kid back. I mean, he suffered a concussion, then they threw him on an airplane. That seems just ridiculous. I don't know why he didn't just stay overnight at the thing. But anyways, you didn't want to hear my podcast and talk like Dr. Timmy G. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea. All I'm saying is the kid's 25, could be the face of the NFL. He was been the one of the best, if not the best player at his position in every class he's been in, from high school to college to, he made the front runner for the NFL. Well, one of the front runners for the MVP, Jalen Hurts. He made that dude transfer to Oklahoma because that's how good Tua was. So don't forget how good that kid is. Here's another thing, very surprising to me. Very surprising is that how big of a step the Jacksonville Jaguars have taken. Obviously, Urban Meyer was dog shit as a coach. All those things came out. But, Jacksonville's on the up and up. I know they had a horrible game, and I think that Trevor Lawrence set a record for the most fumbles. I think he had 5 fumbles. Shout out to him. Does he have small hands? I'm asking for Kenny Pickett's agent. Does Trevor Lawrence have small hands? If you remember, Kenny Pickett, he's now the starting quarterback for the Steelers. He took the job from Mitch Trubisky. You might have heard of him. People are saying that Kenny Pickett's had really small hands during the draft. But has he ever fumbled 5 times in the game? I'm asking for a friend. You know what? Who has? Trevor, I got long hair, beautiful long hair. Lawrence, he fumbles. Fumble liar. 5 times? I mean, shit, what do you have on your hands, buddy? So we'll see what happens here, ladies and gentlemen. I will say the two teams that made the Super Bowl both look like dog shit. Cincinnati looks trash. Los Angeles Rams look like trash. I mean, the best division in football, we thought, right? Kansas City Chiefs, it's the AFC West. Kansas City Chiefs, they look great. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, shit, I think he could probably punt the ball better than most punters. I mean, he's throwing the ball left-handed, right-handed, scrambling, running around, boom, bada bing, bada bang. Las Vegas Raiders. I want to touch base on this. A lot of people wanted to say, oh, Las Vegas is going to be good. They got Devontae Adams. They got Derek Carr. They paid him. They paid Waller. Well, guess what? I just want to let everyone know that the Las Vegas Raiders have, if not a worse offensive line, the same caliber as the Bears. Their offensive line is dog shit, okay? They aren't very good, so it's kind of hard to be a successful NFL team when your offensive line is horrible. Okay? So a wide receiver is phenomenal to have, but if you have no one to protect, or on the opposite side, get after the quarterback and cause havoc, no one cares. Like, it doesn't win you games. The NFL, as much as we want to say, it's in the trenches. If you do not block the guy that has to throw the ball, it doesn't matter if you have the fastest quarterback or wide receiver in the world, he can run 40 yards. You're not going to have time in the pocket to throw the ball 40 yards. Definitely not accurately. And then, the other thing, Denver Broncos, I think are a horseshit team. So you got Las Vegas, horseshit. You got the Denver Broncos, horseshit. Okay? So I don't know if they're the best division. Okay? And then also, just wanted to point one other thing out, and then I'm going to come back this week and even preview the games, okay? But did you know, little did you know, the number one scoring team in the NFL? Yep, you said it right. The Detroit Lions, 140 points scored. Jared Goff, people are saying he's better than Stafford. I'm just saying. Jared Goff, they're saying that Sean McVay held him back from his potential, and now Dan Campbell gives him 17 espresso shots, and Jared Goff is the next Joe Theismann 2.0. Just saying. That's what people are saying. Also, the team that's given up the most points in the NFL, shout out to our Detroit Lions. They've given up 141. If you're good at math, that's more than they scored, hence why they're 1-3. So just want to keep that so everybody knows. So let's go. I hope that the Bears against Minnesota are able to throw the ball. Here's what I'm going to shoot for. I'm not going to shoot for the moon. We threw the ball 21 times last week, 11 for 21, I think, or 11 for 22. Sorry, 11 for 22. If we could throw the ball 26 times, that's four more attempts. I think that would be good. I don't care if Justin Fields throws 100 interceptions. I understand, but that's me. The coaching staff, like I said, just got promoted into the co being the head coach. Everybody on the coaching staff just got promoted into their current roles. They don't want to lose, so they might run the ball 890 times because they want the score to be 15 to 12. The Bears win. They don't care about Justin Fields. And the sad part is, I don't think they care about the growth of him, about the development. At least not right now, right? We're almost 1/4 through the season. We had four games in. We're playing the Vikings at the Vikings. We'll see what happens. And so we'll go from there. We'll talk about the game and everything on that. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, appreciate your time. This is straight off the cuff, straight off my brain. If you followed all those thoughts, bless your soul. Have a great day. Happy hump day. NFL, and shout out to me, college football tonight. Okay, you got college football on a Wednesday. Happy hump day. You literally only have to live one day without football moving forward. One day a week, every other day, football. You know who else loves football? Tom Brady. He's addicted to the game. Shout out to Brady. He said, I third divorce. Now the Tampa Bay. If you can get good odds on him, bet him to win the Super Bowl. Every time he gets a divorce, he wins the Super Bowl. Shout out to me. I told you that earlier. Write that down in your notes. Enjoy your day. Have a phenomenal Wednesday. Talk to you soon.